WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New information on a deadly shooting at a small Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin. Police say the shooter was a 15-year-old student who died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound after killing a teacher and a fellow student. Two of the six wounded are in critical condition. Police Chief Sean Barnes.
We are still working to determine a motive. Detectives have talked to her family members as well as conduct a search of the shooter's home here in Madison.
Police say a second grader called 911. CBS News Chicago's Charlie DeMar.
Bethany Hyman's daughter attends the school.
Traumatic experience that I had to get here as soon as possible.
Dave Wagner is the former principal.
That my heart grieves beyond words with them.
This was the nation's 39th school shooting this year that has resulted in deaths or injuries.
A claim of responsibility in the death of a top Russian defense official. Correspondent Vicky Barker.
Ukrainian security sources have confirmed to CBS News that Ukraine's SBU intelligence service was behind this morning's assassination of the general responsible for Russia's nuclear and biological warfare program. Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov and an assistant died when a bomb planted in an electric scooter went off as they were leaving an apartment building in Moscow.
A New York judge is denying President-elect Trump's bid to clear his record for falsifying business records. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
It just means that he does not view the Supreme Court's decision on presumptive immunity from criminal prosecution as binding on the case that took place in his state courtroom involving hush money payments. He is simply not willing to toss out the conviction.
During a news conference at Mar-a-Lago, Mr. Trump claimed U.S. officials know more about those mysterious drone sightings in the east, and now at an Air Force base in Ohio, than they're willing to say. But White House advisor John Kirby insists.
We're monitoring this in real time and analyzing it in dang near real time. We have not seen anything that indicates a threat to national security or a public safety risk.
The Russian woman accused of stowing away on a Delta flight from New York to Paris has been arrested again. The FBI says Svetlana Dali cut off her ankle monitor and hopped a bus from Buffalo to Canada. She was arrested along the way. Just in, this year's additions to the National Film Registry. Star Trek II and Beverly Hills Cop among the 25 movies selected by the Library of Congress.
And let's do a rap together. Yo, baby, yo, baby, yo.
Dirty Dancing makes the cut, too.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Packers rest up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers players getting an extra day off. Their next game is on Monday Night Football from Lambeau Field against the struggling New Orleans Saints. The Wisconsin Badgers announced that they're welcoming a new quarterback, Danny O'Neill, who started as a true freshman this year for San Diego State. College hoops. After losing three straight last week, the Wisconsin Badgers have dropped out of the AP Top 25. They had been ranked as high as 11th in the nation. They beat Butler over the weekend. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we were getting better during that stretch, and I think obviously when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Thunder tonight in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup. Odds makers have Oklahoma City as 5-point favorites. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers, what the tournament means for the team.
You don't get to get this experience during a regular season. Yeah. This will help us. This will help Oklahoma and Atlanta, Houston, everybody that was here. It's going to help us later.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lisa Kudrow is not a fan of AI and let Tom Hanks know about it. Kudrow appeared on the Armchair Expert podcast and referenced Hanks' recent film, Here, in which AI helped depict Hanks and co-star Robin Wright over the course of several decades. Kudrow criticized Hanks and director Robert Zemeckis, saying it could affect the need for actors and that it was an endorsement for AI, adding that it might not ruin everything, but you will basically just be licensing actors' images and not letting them actually act. There is a new teaser trailer for White Lotus Season 3. The third installment of the show will be set in Thailand. Mike White returns as the show's creator and and will also direct the season as he did the previous two. Season 3 stars Carrie Coons, Leslie Bibb, Parker Posey, and Walton Goggins. Season 2 won the Emmy for Best Drama Series. Season 3 drops February 16th on HBO. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Cloudy today with snow developing later this afternoon, continuing through tonight with around an inch or a little more possible by the time it ends. Our high in the upper 20s to low 30s today. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 24 with more snow on the way tomorrow night through much of Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Terry Barr from Civic Media. She is the genie of just about everything will be joining us. We'll talk to the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County about their latest adoption event. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Peach Wabba.
Who doesn't? Hey, folks, check this out. Listen weekdays at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. for the keywords to text for your chance to win in our Grown Up Gift List statewide text-to-win contest. You could win $100 cash, a Chula Vista overnight stay, and be entered to win one of 8 grand prizes on our Grown Up Gift List, which includes new luggage, a humidifier, and remote vacuum. Those aren't sexy gifts, folks, but they get the job done. Who doesn't want a more humid house during the dog days of winter, right?
Exactly. It's good right? for your skin. It's good for your skin.
Exactly. So there you go. And also text us your favorite Christmas stories, recipes, songs, carols, whatever. We're going to kick off 24 hours of Christmas music here at Civic Media next Tuesday night on Christmas Eve. Nightlight will be on 2 hours earlier. And we will be reading whatever you submit. And you can send those submissions to nightlight at civicmedia.us, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E, at civicmedia.us. Be part of the fun on Christmas Eve. We'll get you in the Christmas spirit, folks. We're in the Christmas spirit right now because we're talking about something I love to talk about, and that's independent film and acting. And we're doing it with one of our local esteemed actors, Heather Arndt, who is here in the studio with us. We were talking about independent film. You said you have a feature film in the works for the coming year as well. I ask a lot of independent filmmakers this because I've had the same issue myself in the past. Where do you get your money? Where do you get your budget? Do you go to family? Do you do a GoFundMe? How does that work?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do a lot of independent fundraising now. You know, they have some people where there's incentives for them to sign up for certain things. I've seen that a lot with filmmakers. And some of them, yeah, are personally funded. So these filmmakers out there, you know, please, please, please support their films. Please, when we're talking about supporting local, please don't forget your local filmmakers because
right.
they are really
Absolutely.
Working hard and they're putting out something great for your entertainment. If you guys like watching movies, you guys like watching TV, like support them because they are amazing.
Most definitely. And, you know, if the incentives pass in Wisconsin, and like we were talking about during the break, a lot of bigger projects come here and it does become a hub, mm-hmm. it employs a lot of people. And I think I've done this before because I've raised money, but I think every dollar you spend and put on the screen or into the budget, like $6 or $5 comes back into the community. So you're absolutely right about supporting local.
Right.
All right. So let's get to the fun stuff here, Heather. You won an award for Best Supporting Actress in a Feature Film. At the Milwaukee Independent Film Awards. I had some of those guys on the show. They were talking about, this is the first one.
Yes.
And you won Best Supporting Actress. That's kind of cool. Tell us about
really
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
It was for our feature film called Amro that we shot last October. We spent only a week shooting a full feature film. It was
Wow.
Yeah.
It was That's incredible.
A bank heist. It was an action film. That was my first action film. I tend to get cast, or there's just more of drama films. So I do a lot of crying or that type of thing on set. So this was really, really fun for me to kind of step outside of what I normally do and have this fun bank heist film and all this action. where people are getting beat up or all sorts of things are happening there. But that film won Best Feature Film at the awards as well. And then, yeah, I won Best Supporting Actress, which was like such an amazing feeling and so cool.
I can't even imagine. Like, and what does that do? Like, does that solidify your relationship with the director? Like, they have to be impressed too. Like, they cast you, you bring home some hardware, and they must be like, wow, we hit a home run with Heather. We're going to use her in our next project.
Yeah.
Is there any talk of that?
I hope so. Yeah. It's hard because everybody's kind like that. We shot with some people that are out in Canada. You know, there are some people that were local, so everyone's kind of everywhere. But yeah, I would love to work in another project. When I auditioned for that role, I felt good about that role. I really, yeah. You don't always, I shouldn't say you don't always feel good about your auditions, but sometimes you're like, do my best, what happens. But I felt good about that audition, and seeing the final movie, I can't imagine really anybody else in any of the roles. I feel like it was cast perfectly. We all just kind of came together, and none of us knew each other, except for Tony and I. None of us knew each other beforehand. So we're all kind of getting together, and you have to really kind of build that chemistry right away and then shoot for that week and make sure that it comes off, you know, like you guys do know each other and like it's actually legit.
It's so interesting because I didn't realize when I was younger how integral casting was and how important of an art form that really is matching the right characters.
Right.
And because you really like you go from words on a page to, and I've had people say, can I improv here? And it's like, you know, as a writer, you go, those are my words, you know, and then they do something. You're like, oh my God.
Because it's real. It makes it real. It makes you're bringing yourself into that character. And I'm always really happy. I usually ask too, because I don't want to be like, do you really want me to just say it just like that? But I don't think anyone's ever said no, that, you know, like you can't do that, because you're just bringing, it's so much more real. You're bringing your own nuances and the things that you would normally say or move or do into the project. And speaking of, you know, having that chemistry, I mean, even after they audition people, they'll have chemistry reads just to see, hey, let's see how you two do together. Let's see what that chemistry is like if we brought you in a scene together. So they do have separate reads then just for chemistry before they finish casting. So, yeah, it is important.
That's so cool. Who are your influences? Like when you grew up watching movies, TV, whatever, who did you see on screen and go, you have your personality reminds me a little bit of Terry Garr. Have you ever had that comparison?
Who's
before?
Terry Garr?
She just passed away. She's much older than you. She's in her 70s, but she was in Mr. Mom. She played the wife.
Okay, I'm going to have to look her up.
Look her up, and it's more of a demeanor you have, but you kind of look like her too, but it's more of a demeanor, I would say, and kind of a sense of humor. But do you have influences and people that you kind of thought, man, I could do that? Or
I mean, honestly, my biggest influence growing up was all the soap operas I watched. Honestly, Susan Lucci, who was always up for a nomination for year after year after year until she finally won.
Did she finally win?
She finally won. Oh, it was, I don't know how many nominations it was. It was kind of getting depressing.
Like decades worth or something like that.
Yes. Yeah. But really that had the most integral, you know, experience for me. It was the most, you know, immersed I was in acting, because, you know, we didn't have, like I said, we didn't have the internet. So when my mom wanted to watch a show, we're watching a show, and her show was the daytime soap opera, All My Children. So I watched it with her, and I don't know if that's great for kids, because
Mom, is it normal to sleep with a lot of other men when dad's at work?
Yeah, because everyone's breaking up and then they're dating their brother. Right. You know, the person you broke up with, your brother, now I'm dating him. And then everyone, when they get mad, throws things and they break things.
That's not normal?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because my parents have been together for over 50 years. And my dad is like so humble and so sweet. I think I've only ever seen him get upset and angry twice in my life. Hmm. And that wasn't even that bad. So
was
like,
it at you?
Probably. But like they are the opposite of daytime soap operas. But growing up, I thought like, that's it. That's what you got to do. And I remember in elementary school, I had a boyfriend who has boyfriends in elementary school. Give me a break. And some girl told me that he was talking about some other girl. And so I was like, that's it. It's over. I was very dramatic.
Oh, wow.
And so I ripped off the necklace he gave me, had my girlfriend's in tow. We pulled it apart and we threw it at him and said, it's over, and walked away.
That's a soap opera moment.
It really was. That's what it taught me. And that's not great. And then in my 20s, I realized that's not cool. You don't do that.
Right. We'll have more with more breakup tips with Heather coming up. Heather Arndt is my guest. She is a Wisconsin actress based here in Green Bay. What's the coolest project you've been part of, whether it was in Wisconsin or when you traveled for work? What project did you not want to end? And where can we see it if it's available?
Gosh, I mean, that is so hard. I hate when people ask me those questions because it's like so many things. I think about some of the most recent work I've done and the one that I won the award for.
Yeah.
I think people should really, really watch Amro when it's streaming. We don't have it streaming yet, but please watch that because it is a great, great film.
Well, you'll have to let us know when that comes out on streaming. Yeah. What would you tell, you said you started acting at a pretty young age.
Yeah.
What would you tell people who want to get into this business but don't have access to? Like growing up here, you don't really meet a lot of actors who are working. So you don't have those role models, I guess you'd say. So if someone came to you and said, how do I get into this business? What would you do?
Well, I agree with you that you don't meet a lot of people because you don't know who is an actor out here. But I think, you know, everything has changed so dramatically now. I mean, you can go on the internet and connect with people. And there are so many actually working actors in the Milwaukee, Chicago area. I think if people want to get into acting, they should, you know, sign up for classes, sign up for improv. That's huge. Obviously, if you're still in school, please do the musicals and all that fun stuff. But really just, I mean, even taking online classes, there's so many talented people, you know, doing that as well. So just YouTube videos, people, like there's such a wealth of information. I'm kind of so jealous of all the people that are younger now.
Yeah.
Yes, that you have so many choices and so many opportunities, and you can take seminars and classes not only here but other places with really well-known people. You have so much opportunity. So if it's something that you really, really want to do and that feeling's not going away, like please pursue it, because I always tell my kids, you know, when you're looking for something to do, find out what you are interested in, what gets you up in the morning, and then kind of follow that thread and see what's out there.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. So, all right, we have about a minute left. Are you ready for Christmas?
Well, yeah, I told you I'm going to have dusty presents under
That's
the
right.
tree.
All right, so fair enough. What is your favorite Christmas movie? Do you have a movie or three or five that you go to every year?
Yeah, and my boyfriend would hate me because he's always like, so why do we always watch this? We watch this every year. There's new movies, but I'm a creature of habit. What can you say? I love Christmas with the Cranks. That is such a great movie.
I love that
his
movie
favorite
too.
Movie
Thank
ever.
Thank you. It's so good.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I could watch it over and over again. Home Alone, obviously. Yeah. You got to be watching that. Elf.
Yep.
And then like Christmas Story. You know, those are like the standard ones that I need to watch. I'll watch Christmas with the Cranks in summer. I mean, I don't care.
Wow.
Sometimes you get that moment. It's like July, Christmas in July. Let's watch it.
That seems like aberrant behavior to me. Watch a Christmas movie in July. Conrad, are you that much of an addict for Christmas?
I can't say I've watched Christmas with the Cranks in summer.
I think you have to have a party. Do like a pool party to show a Christmas.
You know, campgrounds do that. They have that Christmas party. Yeah, Christmas in July. You know what? I just say celebrate life. If you're feeling it, do it. I am all about celebrating everything. Use a good china.
That comes across, and you've been a lot of fun to talk to here. So thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah,
continued
thanks.
Success. Let us know when these movies come out.
Yes.
We'll come back. We'll do it again. And I'll give you my Netflix password, so stand by.
Wait, not Netflix.
Peacock.
He's got me.
He's got all right. Okay, we'll do Peacock, and we'll do a little exchange.
What
here,
do
like
you got? Yeah,
recipe.
What password you got?
Paramount Plus, I got that.
Oh, I got that one.
I already got that one.
I need Pluto. All right, we got to wrap up with Heather. Thank you so much, Heather Arndt, folks. Check out her work. And hey, Rob Brackenridge coming up next, also in studio. He's going to give us some laughs. It's Peach Wabba Nightlight.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Following up our report on states which have passed a Voting Rights Act comes an authorization to collect signatures for the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights, protecting voters from suppression tactics and implementing reforms like automatic voter registration. The state of Ohio tried to reject it. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost twice objected to the title of the measure, tactically delaying the measure beginning in early 2024 so it couldn't make the November ballot. October 30th, the Ohio Supreme Court ruled that the AG did not have the authority to reject it on the basis of its title. Then in mid-November, the Ohio Ballot Board, headed by Secretary of State Frank LaRose, approved the measure to collect signatures. If passed, the constitutional measure, similar to Michigan's 2022 initiative, would enshrine Ohio voters' right to vote early in person, by mail, or on Election Day, and to do so without intimidation or harassment. It allows voter registration online, at the DMV, and on Election Day. It gives municipalities flexibility to expand polling locations and use drop boxes, and directs that state government and the courts should defer to supporting voters' rights. Given the state's derailment of November's citizen-led redistricting commission, expect more state-sponsored shenanigans before voters weigh in. We have the full text of the Ohio Voters Bill of Rights at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what does chocolate cover most deliciously? And we've had a lot of great answers. Cherries. Heather just said cheese, which I didn't think was fathomable, but she made it sound okay. She said it was delicious, like cheesecake, which makes sense. Peanuts, peanut butter, cookies. We've heard it all. Ice cream, Conrad said. I say strawberries, Rob.
Yes. Raisins.
Raisins. Yes. Like raisinettes.
Yep. Shrimp. that's white chocolate. Okay.
That is the voice of Rob Brackenridge, who is fast becoming one of my favorite guests. It's great to have you here.
It's great
in
to
the studio, buddy. He is an Appleton-based comedian who obviously travels all over. We first met in L.A. Is that too quiet? And then I don't know if we lost touch because we were never like tight or anything. Right. But I'm so glad I got to know you more since I moved back here and you moved back here.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. And you're a legend. You know, you've always been a legend in the comedy world. So.
Right. Okay.
It was obvious our paths were going to cross eventually. Right.
Absolutely. Especially being in Northeast Wisconsin.
Yep.
And you just told me that Jimmy Pardo, who's been on the show, and Lance Barber, who's been on the show, did a podcast together.
Yes.
Rudely, without inviting me. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
They were on the show and they did this great podcast. So that was fun.
And Never Not Funny podcast was talking all about you throughout the whole thing there.
Oh, my goodness.
Singing your praises.
That's very nice. So, all right. So catch us up. What's going on? How you been?
Good. You know, I'm doing all the comedy stuff.
Yeah.
This is how I do it. Which is, right. A lot of people don't get it.
Some people think that means give me a side of fries. They don't know what's going on.
Or you're doing some mentalist stuff, pulling back out my old Kreskin stuff now, you know, since he's gone.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Oh,
last
man.
Week. I shouldn't be
what?
Making. Yeah, it's too soon to be making jokes about Kreskin.
Not for you, buddy.
I'm going to make those jokes disappear.
You could do that. So you used to do like an impression of Kreskin?
I didn't.
Oh. Okay.
But how?
It's never too late.
No, how would you? I guess he had a weird way of talking,
he
didn't he?
He did.
He was just kind of a strange guy.
Didn't Carson used to impersonate?
Yeah, he was great, though. Yeah. I mean, Kreskin, he would do these amazing things.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's fun.
No, party. It's like a party trick and stuff. You know?
Yeah. I like the mustache.
Oh, thanks.
So I have a question here for you. I was going through your website. And I love reading all your stuff, but you have so many. You have looks from over the years.
Yeah.
So many different looks.
You got
mustache, crazy feathered hair, serious, mugging. Was that for acting or just your comedy headshots over the years?
I guess I never see my face, but it's I'm known as a very muggy kind of guy, you know?
Yeah. You are. And some of the great other comics that do that, Brian Regan, Jim Carrey. I mean,
Sometimes, does it take more energy to do your act when you have to be so animated? Do you sometimes wish you could just go up there and barrel through the jokes and get the hell out of there?
I don't think I've ever done it any other way. Really? I think when I started out doing it, it was like in open mics and stuff, and I had to kind of accent what I was saying.
Yeah.
And I do, and I have like really big eyes and big teeth and everything, so it kind of... You know, I can go, like, with this mustache, I can go from Charlie Chaplin to Groucho Marx. Charlie Chaplin, Groucho Marx.
You just did a thing that reminded me of the guy in the boat who was in the dinghy in Caddyshack and sees the big ocean liner coming right at him. And he looks up.
But I think, the one clip, the one reel that I had on that went, you know, millions of views.
Right.
On TikTok, I had the mustache and I wore a suit coat. So I decided to start doing that now just to see if maybe I should stick with one look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. And how did that go?
Well, I've just started it. I shaved off my beard a couple of weeks ago. And I'm only going to wear like a black T-shirt and a suit coat and have the porn stash, I call it. It really looks like I should be delivering a pizza.
You know what would go great with a mustache?
What?
A tube top. Oh. Just think about it, Rob. I'm just saying. You don't want to keep people guessing.
I got to lose a little weight first.
Well, don't
worry. I'd have to figure out which roll had the nipple, you know, to put it on. When I get to the chins, I know I've missed it.
Did you just do a gig at Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton with Mike Merrifield?
Yes.
And another Wisconsin comic, too. It was like three of you guys.
Jack Haisley, yep.
Okay, so how did that go? How was that week?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Well, the first night, it was that cold snap that we had.
Oh, right.
30 degrees below zero or something. And no one really showed up. It was like eight people. But they were great. Yeah. If you come out to comedy and 30 degrees below zero, you're going to laugh.
Yes.
You know, you're not going to sit there. And then the next night, it was completely packed. And they were great, too.
Okay.
And then Saturday, I had to do, like, a corporate gig in Elkhart Lake at the Osthoff Resort.
Oh,
and
wow.
There was, like, 800 people and all talking. It was Yeah, it was a big, you know, one night I'm being carried off on the shoulders, you know, and the next night I'm like, today, I consider myself the luckiest man. It was so echoey in there.
They're looking up at you going, could you keep it down? We're trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, like, they really. And they were trying to heckle me, but I couldn't hear them. So I'm like, I know you're trying to heckle me, but I can't hear you even more than you can't hear me.
Those Christmas gigs, if I remember correctly anyway, pay pretty well, though, don't they?
Yes, yeah, they do pay well.
800 people.
And it's like cruise ships. There are people that are not there to see comedy, but it pays really well.
Right.
And then when you go to a place where they are there to see comedy, it doesn't pay that well, but they're funner. They're fun gigs, you know?
Did you ever work a club where the owner said, like it was a summer gig, and the owner said, well, it's summer money?
Yeah.
Do they still do that?
Yes. If they're even open in the summer, because that's death for comedians, as you know.
I remember my buddy Steve Seeger, and I don't know if you know
Steve.
Yes,
I know it. Scotch, is there anything you can't do?
Someone told him they were going to pay him summer money. He goes, oh, great, I'll do my summer act.
I love that. That sounds so Seeger.
So what's that week like? Are you... You're a headliner, but I saw that you were middling. Is that because you guys are buddies? Like, you just wanted to work with them, or?
Yep. Well, I started Mikey out in the business.
Oh,
and now
wow.
He's huge. He's opening for Rob Schneider all over the country. And
yeah.
Yeah. He works for 800 Pound Gorilla, you know, the recording company. So he actually records. He put out a new Robin Williams album because they bought all the rights to this tape that they had.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they just put out a brand new Robin Williams.
That's kind of cool.
So, yeah.
Well, that's very cool. All right, so Rob is here. We're going to do some news here, award-winning news that only Civic Media can bring you because this is the Civic Media Radio Network. And we'll come back and talk to Rob a little more about comedy and Christmas and everything he's got cooking. And maybe we'll hear a little something. Conrad, I know you pulled the clip, right? So that'll be exciting. We'll expose you to more of the very funny Rob Breckenridge. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Still no motive, but we have learned the identity of the person who shot and killed a student and a teacher at a small Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin. Police Chief Sean Barnes.
The shooter has now been identified as 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow, who went by the name Samantha.
She turned the gun on herself. Ukraine has taken responsibility for the death of the head of Russia's nuclear defense forces. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
Russian investigators say the bomb was hidden in a scooter by the entrance to an apartment block and detonated remotely.
A New York judge has rejected President-elect Trump's bid to clear his record in his hush money conviction. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The judge found the Supreme Court's decision regarding presidents and former presidents and their immunity from criminal prosecution did not bar liability in this case.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers rest up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers players getting an extra day off. Their next game is on Monday Night Football from Lambeau Field against the struggling New Orleans Saints. The Wisconsin Badgers announced that they're welcoming a new quarterback, Danny O'Neill, who started as a true freshman this year for San Diego State. College hoops. After losing three straight last week, the Wisconsin Badgers have dropped out of the AP Top 25. They had been ranked as high as 11th in the nation. They beat Butler over the weekend. Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we were getting better during that stretch, and I think obviously when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Thunder tonight in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup. Odds makers have Oklahoma City as 5-point favorites. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers, what the tournament means for the team.
You don't get to get this experience during a regular season. Yeah. This will help us. This will help Oklahoma and Atlanta, Houston, everybody that was here. It's going to help us later.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Moana 2 remained king of the box office last weekend. In its third weekend of release, the film pulled in over $26 million, putting it in first place yet again. Moana 2 and Wicked have a nice little competition going. Even though Moana 2 broke records, it might not catch Wicked when it comes to the total take. Wicked has pulled in $359 million domestically, and Moana 2 is at $337 million. They are neck and neck, which might be too much of a deficit for Moana 2 to overcome when it comes to the holiday season box office champ. Wicked remains strong at the gate, also finishing in second place last week with $22.5 million. Action-adventure film Kraven the Hunter, starring Russell Crowe and Aaron Taylor-Johnson, is a box office dud, finishing with a disappointing $11 million in its first week of release. Gladiator 2 held strong in fourth place with $7.5 million, and the new animated Lord of the Rings film finished in fifth place with a disappointing total of less than $5 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cloudy today with snow developing later this afternoon, continuing through tonight with around an inch or a little more possible by the time it ends. Our high in the upper 20s to low 30s today. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 24 with more snow on the way tomorrow night through much of Thursday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome nationally syndicated Tribune Media columnist and comedian Greg Schwemm and marketing director of the Marinette Community Rec Center, Sean Katzbach, joins the show to talk about the STEAM concert.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back. Hanging out with Rob Brackenridge here at Nightlight tonight. He is in the studio, sitting right next to me. If you're not tuned in on the stream, you'd be well served. You can see his new mustache.
Yep. Very like Charlie Chaplin. Every time I look at it, I look funnier with a mustache. I think, you know.
Yeah, there's something about it. I agree. It's something about a mustache.
It's comedic. I got a comedic face. Let's face it.
You got a great voice too. Like I love how you when you're on stage and you're in a joke and then you just kind of transition into this whole new voice,
like Barney Fife or something. I don't know. And no one knows who Barney Fife is. I went through that whole thing where because back when I first started in stand up in the early 1920s,
you opened for Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, I would do Barney Fife. Everyone knew who he was. Then I had to say Mr. Furley.
Yeah,
and then. He died. Now no one knows who he is.
Now it's here's a guy.
Yeah. Here's a guy that talks like this.
You were telling a story during the break that I would love it if you would repeat it about the comedian Brian Regan. We were both huge fans of his. I had the absolute pleasure of working with him. I think he told this story in St. Louis. We were in the green room between shows, and he said he was the front of the layup line on the basketball team in high school. Mm-hmm. He said, they just liked me because I was funny. I wasn't very good at basketball, but to start the season, the whole gym's going crazy. The band's playing and I'm the first guy that's got to make a layup and the guy passes me the ball and it goes off my knee into the band. Like all the momentum from the gym
it built up to this point.
Like somehow Brian Regan is funnier or as funny offstage as he is on.
He really is.
But you had a great story. Please tell that.
Oh, he's always been my favorite. Whenever anyone asks me who my favorite comedian is, other than Pete Schwab, I always say.
It's very sweet of you. No,
I always say Brian because he's amazing. The amount of stuff he comes up with, it's amazing. But he was working the Skyline Comedy Club during the pandemic, and it was almost one of the only clubs open. So we got the huge Brian Regan, who would normally play at the PAC. He's now at the club. And I wanted to sneak in surreptitiously and just watch his act and then sneak out. And so I get into the elevator, and I don't know if you've been to the Skyline, but
yeah,
it's got you have
the
90s, to get,
yeah.
You have to get in an elevator to go up there. And so I'm waiting for the elevator, and then it opens, and who's in there? Brian Regan was in. And I was just like fanboying it out. And I'm, oh, thank you, Brian, for coming out here. I'm a big fan, and I really, while the elevator's going up, I just talked the whole time.
Starts pressing other floors.
Yeah. But then the thing opens up, and he's like, okay. You know, and he walks away, and I'm like, stupid. And I watched the whole show. And then he's coming off after the show. He comes off and he comes right up to me and he goes, do you like cigars? And I went, yes, I do. And he goes, well, I'll sell you one. He goes, you got $50? And so we went out and my friend Johnny Beaner was there too. And we went out. He had his bus right in the parking lot. That's where he stayed in his big luxury.
He's like John Madden of comedy. That's
it's a
so
luxury
cool.
hotel. He took us on a tour through the bus. And we sat there till 3 a.m, drinking and then just talking and laughing, and it was the best.
Was there any inappropriate activity?
Well, there was a little bit. I don't know if I can mention it. It's illegal. It's illegal in Wisconsin.
Oh, dear. Oh, okay. Well, I think I know what you're referring to.
Yeah. And I had a little bit, and he said, well, what's that? And I said, well, that's, you know. And he said, oh, well. Maybe I'll try some. So I filled him a little one, you know, and he took it. And about 5 minutes later, he goes, I got to go to bed, you guys.
Because he killed the party.
Yes, I did kill the party.
But wait, he never tried it before?
He had tried it. He just gets paranoid on it. Some people get paranoid on it. Some, and it depends, you know.
Right.
There's so many different kinds that some make you relax. Some make you sleepy. Some makes you think everyone in backy is a cop.
That's so cool. So you, Brian Regan, and Johnny Bean are all hanging out. Yeah, that's a fun.
And it was the coolest hang I think I've ever done.
Wow. And that's like, I love that you still get like, you're Rob effing Brackenridge.
Yeah, I know.
You got a name. Hey. You've been around a few years and you still geek out when you see someone who you looked up to.
Oh, yeah. But I'm nobody compared to him. I play little one nighters and stuff and no one really knows who I am. Up until the TikTok thing, now people come out and they go, oh, we've seen all your TikToks and stuff.
Oh, that's amazing.
But before that, they're just like, oh, you were really funny. How come I've never heard of you? Or sometimes people come up and go, you should do this for a living. You're good enough to do this for a living. And I've done it for 35 years, and I'm just like, thank you. I will try.
Move along.
Yeah.
Can Brian Regan grow a mustache like the one you're rocking tonight? I doubt it.
Sweet.
Doubt it.
The old porn stash.
What do you have other clubs, Rob, that are your favorites to work first in Wisconsin and then nationwide? Is there where do you like to go?
Well, obviously the Skyline, you know, I go there and that's
Is that like your home club, would you say? Okay.
Yep. And I started there in 96. I was working there. And the guy that owned it, and then I was actually emceeing for Mitch Hedberg the next or the week before. I was headlining at the Skyline.
Wow.
And the owners called me up. They go, hey, we just saw your name in the paper. You're in Green Bay opening for Mitch Hedberg. And I said, yeah. And they go, well, you're headlining for us the next week. And I go, yeah. It's Green. Those are two different cities.
Right.
And he goes, well, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if we're going to keep you. And I'm like, okay, well, let me know within the next hour because I got to rebook the week, you know. And I hung up on him, and I didn't think. And then he calls me up like 5 minutes later. Okay, but just don't do it again. You remember that? How people are like in.
You know, I had an issue with that club. I loved working the club, and then certain owners came in, and I just did not hit it off. I just thought they just didn't treat people very well. And they love if they loved you and you were a big name, they would throw you, they would bounce you, they would, you know. Bump you from the show with a week's note, like you just said.
Yeah.
It's just not cool. So.
Yeah. They didn't run it really well, I don't think.
Right.
At the beginning. Then they learned more. Okay. You know, and now they sold it to a guy that now has 7 clubs all over the country. So it's kind of owned by a big industry now.
My guest is Rob Brackenridge. You can check him out at all your stuff is at youtube.com.
Yeah.
/@RBRack994.
Brack. Yeah.
Brack. Brack. Rob Brackenridge. Brack. So it's www. I just started to say W. Like, I can't just say YouTube.
Mike gets so, he teases me so much when I say www.
Like, what was I thinking?
And that's supposed to be short.
HTTP. go to YouTube.
And when your computer goes.
Listen, you make fun of my dial up, but it's reliable. I rarely get booted. So it's at rbrack994. Just Google Rob Brackenridge. It'll take you right to YouTube.
And then my website has my Rob Brackenridge. You know.
All right. So we have a clip. Let's hear some of Rob's comedy right now, Conrad. You got something, but not too long. I'm just kidding.
I don't want to sit through it.
This will be awkward for you, but it'll
be fun for us. I
got to
do that every night.
But the dead giveaway here from Wisconsin is if you suffer from what I call the Erno factor. Right? They're like, you guys coming with or no? You guys have supper or no? And stay away from the Wisconsin Shakespeare Festival. That's just embarrassing. They're like, to me or no?
That's so great.
That's the one that got millions of views.
Yeah, it's a great joke. And is it one of those jokes where you go, how did I not think of this? Like,
well, I did think of it a long time ago. That was one of the, when I started doing Wisconsin stuff, I realized I was saying Erno when I first moved to LA. I'm like, hey, you bringing that with or no? And then they go, did you just say, are you bringing that with or no? And I said, yes, that's what I said. And so then I realized that I have an accent and I say weird words. And so I latched onto the Erno thing. And then now I see it everywhere. So I've actually made a little, you know, a little mark on our semantics. Yeah.
So what did you do when people called you on the accent? Did you embrace it or did you like, cause I feel like when I first moved to LA, people would do that too. Oh, you're from, sometimes they'd say Chicago. Sometimes they'd say Wisconsin. I think the Midwest just has kind of a general accent and then it goes into more specifics based on region. But I think I tried to like get rid of it. I thought it would hurt me.
I tried to too.
Yeah. But then at some point you're like, and my buddy Mike Siegel said this, he goes, all we have is who we are. That's what sets us apart. Yep. So, you know, you might not get a lead role because you sound like this, but you might get a role where they want a guy like, you know.
So you gotta dance with the girl that brung you.
Yeah.
And that's, and so after a while I stopped trying to, because I would call up and go, hi, this is Rob Brackenridge. And they go, oh, Rab Brackenridge? I go, no, R-O-B. And they go, oh, Rob. Your name is Rob. And I'm like, yeah, my name's Rob.
Sure.
So now I have to say Rob, you know. It's like in Canada, they always have to say, you know.
Yeah.
I say, my name is Rob. And they go, is that short for rabbi? The Canadian accent. If like Pink Floyd was from there, they'd be like, you house proud town mouse.
Wow. That's funny. My sister-in-law introduced her to a friend of mine once who spent his whole life, grew up in L.A., and her name is Ann, and she has like a Chicago thing. And she said her name to him, and he goes, what's her name, Ian? Because she said, I'm Ian.
Ian.
And he thought she was saying Eon or Ann. I'm like, I go, no, who would have their name be that? You know, and he's like, I thought that's what she said.
We turn some syllables that are supposed to be short. We, you know, Eon.
Yeah.
It should be Ann.
Yeah, right.
And like Australian people, when they say no, they go, no, no. What are you saying? I'm saying no. No. It's N-O, no.
Oh, that's funny. I was at a drive-thru with my daughter recently, and the woman said, thanks. And my daughter kept imitating her all the way home because she said, thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks. It's like, yeah, that doesn't even sound like thanks. I'm used to it. But if you're from somewhere else, you go, what the hell? It's like when that Making of a Murderer came out at Manitowoc, I had friends that lived in other parts of the country that had to turn on the subtitles.
Yes.
Even though it's like American English.
It really, like bag, the word bag. Yeah. B-A-G. We say big. Where's the big? Where's my big? I left it by the Piggly Wiggly. I don't know where my big is. And the first time I went to Los Angeles, I go, you know where my big is? And they're like, big? It's pronounced bag. And I'm like, well, I beg to differ. So I showed that guy.
Do you have I used to like working the road. I didn't do it for that long, so I have fond memories. I could see where it would get old. Do you still work the road, and do you have stories of things going horribly wrong or a really positive story? What are your favorite road stories?
I had so many good ones and bad ones. I'm heading out next month. I'm in Florida, Bahamas, and Myrtle Beach. So I'm escaping the winter.
Wow, nice. But, good work.
Yeah, I did it one show in, where was it? The North Pole. I was opening for the Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Violent Femmes. And it was a thing called the Molson Ice Polar Beach Party.
And it was in the North Pole?
Magnetic North Pole. A little different. It's called Resolute. It's like the Iqaluit Indians live there.
Oh, wow.
And they took us up there. It was a contest winners on a Russian icebreaker that they turned into a cruise ship. And we're way up there, and it's 100 contest winners and 400 cases of Molson Ice beer, the strong stuff.
Whoa.
And those were the drunkest people I've ever performed for. And, you know, and the Violent Femmes.
And you're from Wisconsin.
Yeah. I do a whole bunch of USO tours back in the 90s. Oh. I was doing a show in Milwaukee, and some guy goes, hey, would you like to go to, where was it, Korea? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. So we did a tour of Korea. I toured with Larry Wilmore. Do you know him?
Larry Wilmore. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The writer.
Yeah.
Oh, he's very funny.
Yeah. Oh, we had the blast. And we went all over the place, you know, all over the world.
No kidding.
Like 12 different countries I did for Miller Lite was the
people. Okay.
So we'd have to like bring all this paraphernalia. You know, it was Miller Lite and Molson and Marlboro. Miller Lite and Marlboro. So we bring them cigarettes and beer.
That's like a Vice tour. Yeah.
It was.
So the contest winners got to go on an Russian
icebreaker.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
What kind of contest?
And when the Chili Peppers performed, we got off the ship because, you know, they didn't want to do it on the ship. So we went to, that's where we went to Resolute, and they let all the indigenous people come to the show. And they had never even seen white people before.
Oh, my gosh.
Now they're looking at Flea and Anthony. And they're like,
probably not wearing pants.
Who are these guys? You know? they'll be talking about for hundreds of years. They'll be many years ago. The men with socks upon their things performed here, and they were very loud.
And were you like the opener?
Yeah. Oh no, I was the only comedian. So I would introduce them, and then I would do some time in between them and the Violent Femmes.
That's in between.
Yep.
Okay.
I got to meet Brian. We were talking Wisconsin. You know the.
That's so great. Let's pick up there. That doesn't sound like a bad road story, though.
That sounds like
a pretty good one. So we'll pick up there. Rob Brackenridge is here in the studio with me here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. I'll read more of your texts when we come back, and we'll have a few more minutes with Rob on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's progress we have found.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So, all right, from the 608, I think this might be Anna, who says, my dad loves cheese fudge. It sounds terrible, but it's not bad. I think if you have to explain to people.
Yeah, I don't think sweetness belongs in cheese.
But cheesecake. Like, oh, yeah, that's Heather true. Was saying.
But that's not real cheese.
Correct. That's true.
It's like pudding.
But I believe there's been so many things I've turned my nose up at over the years, and then I try it, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. Like, so I'll go with that. That's a great one.
Yeah.
608. Jim from Appleton says, chocolate-covered nuts. Pecans.
Sorry, I'm Rob very juvenile. I'm very juvenile. I'm sorry. I hang out with Mary
I'm
Field
sure
too.
That's been done before too. Chocolate covered nuts,
oh, sure it is.
Pecans, walnuts, pistachios, and best of all, cashews. Yes,
I do.
Chocolate
like that.
Covered cashews are phenomenal. Great yeah. stuff, Jim. Amanda also said, "What did Conrad say, Amanda?" Before when she told Heather to scoot over.
Yeah, but
and then she left. That was in the nightlight text, I think. I want to find that.
You know what a really good chocolate covered thing is? Popcorn. Have you tried that?
Yes, I have. That is God, that's something I didn't think of too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, chocolate is so good. You could put it on basically anything.
Sure.
And it would be great. So, Amanda says, and Butterfinger is her favorite. So whatever that is, that orange-like candy.
Yeah, it's kind of spun. I don't know what it is. It looks like fiberglass or something.
It looks wrong. But so that's a good one too. And then so we got that. And then Bridget from the 818 says chocolate over peanut butter. Aldi has the best peanut butter cups. I've actually had those, Bridget. They're like they're doing what Reese's did, but they're like so much better. Hmm. And you want to put like six of them in your mouth and just head to Flavor Country.
Yeah.
For the rest of the evening. It's something else.
Yeah. That would sounds good.
So we were telling road stories. We decided we're going to table the rest of your road stories. For
yeah,
your
we
got to
save
appearance.
Something for next time.
We
got to
save something. And part of the reason I did that is because we were talking Bears Packers during the break. Conrad, I don't know if you heard any of that.
I didn't actually.
Okay.
No.
So Rob had, he noticed something about the Packers of recent years that I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Well, back in the old days, because I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, we had manly sounding names like Bart Starr and Ray Nitschke and Vince Lombardi. And then the Bears had Dick butt kiss. Actually, no, that one's kind of sketchy. But the rest of them are all, you could sand wood with them. Those are manly names. But now what do we got? Like Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur. That means flower in French. And then we got Romeo Dobbs. Romeo, where for art thou? You know, that's the difference between Shakespeare and the Packers. In Shakespeare, Romeo's looking for love. In the Packers, love is looking for Romeo.
Look at that.
Hey, wait a minute. Come that's on. Genius stuff right there.
Conrad, you didn't laugh till you were prompted. That's hilarious. He's probably watching the game.
He's not listening.
That's hilarious. And so you're a big Packer fan.
I am.
Yeah.
Been to three games this year.
Really?
Yep. I went to two in 1 week. That's a first for me. Sunday and Thursday.
So how do Packer fans, like, I have so many friends that have season tickets.
Right.
And it seems like they're always available if you really want to go. Someone's got them and they can't use them. But where do you get tickets from typically?
Well, my buddy's mom died. And, you know.
Oh, that's.
Well, it was sad, but she was pretty old. You know, it was weird. Come on, June. That's just selfish. You're 90.
I want to watch the Lambo leap in person. Let's go.
But you know, that's how most people get them. You know, you get willed them, or when you're born here in Wisconsin, that's one of the gifts they give you as a child. So by the time you're 45, you can actually have them.
How much are season tickets right now?
I don't even.
If you wanted Packers season tickets, my cousins have Bears tickets. One of the oldest seat licenses, and I don't even know how much they pay for, because they're like, great seats, are on the 50-yard line, first, second row, whatever. But, like, let's say you wanted two end zone seats or up in the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
What are you shelling out
for? Is it
for
$500 a year? What? I don't know.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
More than that? Like, maybe 1,000 or two?
Are you Googling, Conrad?
I am.
I knew he was doing the Google. He had his Google face on. I could tell he was Googling. All right, let us know. I'm curious. I'm curious as to how inexpensive you can do Packers season tickets.
It gives me a price range of per game. So it's at $66 to $175.
Per ticket?
Yeah, per game.
So, yeah.
Per ticket, per game. So
and that's how many?
That's only
home?
Eight games. So eight? That's not, that's doable. Well, I
See?
Mean,
$1,000.
Everything's relative, but that's if you just take that off the top of your yearly. But then you go there. And you shell out money for snacks. They're always shaking you down for money.
And they want you to tip all the time, even if you buy a water.
At the Packer games?
Yes, because now everything is cashless. So you just take your card, you put it down there, and then it says, how much tip do you want? And they don't really give you an option. They just say 15%, 20%, and I just say nothing. No, I don't want to give you a tip for a bottle of water that you're charging me $6 for the bottle of water. Well, I'm supposed to give you like a $2 tip on that. You know?
And what irritates me is you're the Packers or the put in said NFL. You can afford to pay your employees.
Exactly.
Don't shake down your patrons for money. We've talked about that on this show. There's times I've tipped and then I take my food over and I have to wipe off the table. In addition to tipping, it drives me bananas. We have about a minute left, Rob. You ready for Christmas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Did you get something nice for your mom? I know you have a great relationship.
I did not. And we decided this year we're not going to have a Christmas tree. We're not going to get presents. We even wrote a song, No Christmas Tree. It's like, no Christmas tree, no Christmas tree. You never even missed you. No mistletoe hung overhead, so no one's going to kiss you. Your tangle of lights remain downstairs. Tradition's gone, and no one cares. No Christmas tree, no Christmas tree. We never even missed ya. That was about a minute.
You got to put that out there, man.
I know. I wish
we'd parody songs do great. Holiday parody songs.
We need a new one.
Yeah.
Because we're singing songs that were written 200 years ago, like Deck the Halls.
Oh, awful. And
what does that
dogs
mean?
Barking jingle bells. Yeah. Moving over there. All right. Tomorrow night on the show, Greg Schwemm is here, nationally syndicated columnist and comedian. And Sean Katzbach from the Marinette Community Rec Center is going to be talking about a great event they have. Thank you all for your texts. Thank you to Heather for coming into the studio, Heather Arndt. And as always, my pal, what's your name again?
I forgot my name.
Rob Mustachio.
Rob Brackenridge.
Brackenridge.
But it always goes too fast. Whenever I'm here, it always goes too fast.
We'll do it again soon.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. This
Merry
is Peach Wabba Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen in the guest host chair. And if I make it back in time, I'll join you live as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Instead of getting ready for class today, students at a small Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin, are mourning a substitute teacher and a classmate killed, police say, by a fellow student. Two of the six wounded are in critical condition. As for the person who summoned police, Chief Sean Barnes says,
a second grade student called 911 to report a shooting had occurred at school. Don't let that soak in for a minute. A second grade student called 911.
Police say the shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot. Correspondent Naomi Ruckham.
Police have identified the shooter as 15-year-old student Natalie Rupnow, who went by the name Samantha. They say she was pronounced dead on the way to the hospital, adding that a 9-millimeter handgun was recovered from the scene.
The motive is